is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is the Prince of Peace. The only hope for this fear-filled world is found in the promises of God. One of the prophecies of the Bible is recorded in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And the next verse adds, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." I know this prophecy applies to Jesus, but in view of conditions in the world today, it is rather difficult to understand. So I'm going to ask you some questions regarding this text. But first may I tell our listeners that this frank and earnest broadcast comes to you from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study classes and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, this prophecy speaks of Jesus as the Mighty God. Does this mean that Jesus is the Almighty God?
No, Russell, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that Jesus has been highly exalted and that the Almighty Creator is pleased to have him worshipped as a mighty God. Concerning Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote that eventually to him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and this, the Apostle adds, will be to the glory of God the Father. The Creator has decreed that all men shall honor his Son even as they honor him. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was exalted to the right hand of God.
I notice, Ed, that Jesus is also spoken of as the Everlasting Father. Does that mean that he is our Heavenly Father?
No, the term Father means life-giver. Since through Jesus the people are to receive everlasting life, he is properly called the Everlasting Father.
I don't quite understand.
Well, we know that the first Adam was the father of the human race, but he generated a dying race. He was the original father of all mankind, but not an everlasting father, not a father who gave his offspring everlasting life.
And Jesus is the one who gives everlasting life. When will that be, Ed?
That will be during the reign of Christ.
Will that reign be in any way related to the resurrection of the dead?
Yes, in a sense, it's merely another way of describing the resurrection. A similar thought is suggested by the Apostle Peter in his use of the word restitution, when he says that there will be times of restitution. Restitution means to restore. Resurrection means to raise up from death. It requires the use of both these terms to give us the full thought of what Jesus will do for the dying human race through the administration of the laws of his kingdom during the 1,000 years reign.
Thank you. And that brings us to the final title, the Prince of Peace. Why is it that the Prince of Peace has not yet established peace in the earth? That's what I'm interested in. You know, Ed, it has been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus was born.
I know, Russell, but Jesus has done more already toward establishing peace than many of us realize.
What do you mean by that? Have I missed something?
Well, as a rule, we think of the term peace in contrast with war. and frequently we use both terms peace and war merely in connection with the relationship of nations, don't we?
Yes, I can see that.
But when we think of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, we should realize that it implies much more than the fact that eventually he will establish peace amongst nations and in wars.
What else can it mean, Ed?
Well, we should remember that all mankind is at enmity with God. Through sin, a state of disharmony exists between God and man. Jesus will reestablish peace between God and mankind.
And is that what is meant when the Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ?
That's exactly right. By faith, Christians now have peace with God. That is, they are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And during the thousand-year reign of Christ and His church, all mankind will be given a full opportunity of enjoying peace with God. And this, of course, is fundamental to genuine peace among themselves.
In other words, Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, will establish peace between God and man, as well as peace among the nations of the earth.
That's right. And no one can have genuine peace of heart unless through Jesus he enjoys peace with God. So you see, Russell, God's plan for peace, which is being carried out through Jesus, is a long-range one.
And that will mean peace between nations also. No more war.
Yes, certainly. There are a number of wonderful prophecies in the Bible concerning that. The 46th Psalm describes the destruction of all the instruments of war and declares that the Lord will make wars to cease unto the ends of the earth.
Beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that sort of thing.
That's right. That text is found in the 4th chapter of Micah, verses 1 to 4. It represents the people saying, come, let us go up to the mountain or kingdom of the Lord, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths.
Well, that's a scripture, beating your swords into plowshares. And when the nations learn the Lord's ways and walk in his paths, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Is that the thought?
Indeed, that is the correct thought. And the prophecy explains further that nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Thus will the Prince of Peace establish peace between the nations.
But, Ed, how about strife within nations? We see a lot of that today.
Indeed. Strife of that sort is usually based upon economic necessities and pressures. And the prophet assures us that every man then shall dwell under his vine and under his fig tree, and that none shall molest nor make afraid. This means that there will be peace within nations too. In other words, there will be universal peace. That is, peace between nations, peace within nations, community peace, peace in the heart, and fundamental to all, peace. The world will be at peace with God, and all of this will be accomplished through Jesus, the Savior of the world.
You know, that is wonderful. No wonder Jesus is called the Prince of Peace.
I should say so. You know, Russell, in that book we're offering as a special gift, attention is called to a wonderful statement concerning Jesus, which is found in the book of Revelation. Will you read Revelation chapter 5, verse 13 for us, please?
I'll be glad to, Ed. It reads, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
In this text, Russell, we're told of the complete reconciliation to God which will be accomplished by the Lamb that was slain. A reconciliation so all-embracing that every creature will be singing the praises of God and of the Lamb, all the willing and the obedient. Russell, will you tell our listeners about our little book which calls attention to so many virtues of Jesus and the wonderful way in which he will bring peace and joy and life to our fear-filled world?
Yes, I will, Ed. And believe me, friends, this is a gift you will long cherish. It is entitled, Jesus, the World's Savior. But in sending for it, all you need to remember is the one word, Savior. This wonderful little book presents Jesus in a practical, understandable way and shows the meaning of the various titles ascribed to him in the Bible and Jesus' place in the plan of God for the salvation of the world. There are very few of us who have not lost friends or relatives in death. Will we ever see them again? The Bible answers yes. And Jesus, the world's Savior, shows how the return of our loved ones from death is guaranteed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here is a gift that you will really prize. You will want your friends to read it, too. So send for Jesus, the world's Savior, now. Simply ask for the Savior Gift Book, addressing your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Right now for the Savior booklet. It will be sent to you free through the mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.